Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas, as you know, is a growing state. It's been reported that 1,000 people a day move into the state. But is electric power keeping pace? In the winter of 2011, there wasn't enough power to go around due to cold weather and mechanical failures at generator plants, and we had rolling blackouts in the state. Since then, Texas leaders have proposed looking at how we pay for our electricity, switching from pay-for-electricity-only markets to capacity markets. That switch could create a surplus of electricity so that we would always have enough. But the idea is not so popular with consumers, corporations, conservatives, and progressives. To tell us more, we're joined by Bill Peacock of the Texas Public Policy Foundation and Tom Smitty-Smith of Public Citizen Texas. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having us.
All right, Bill, so let me ask you, what is the Texas Public Policy Foundation argument against switching to capacity markets?
Well, there's lots of them, David. The first one is it's all based on a false premise that we're running out of electricity. We had a really tight time in 2011. We had that unusual cold snap. We weren't low on electricity, but the units weren't winterized properly, so we had some rolling blackouts because of that. And then, of course, we had that really hot summer. But during that whole hot summer when we were, record heat and record drought, we still had enough electricity to make it through. And so the fact of the matter is that despite some tough moments, we've got enough electricity. The second thing is that, if we do need to improve the market some, but moving to a capacity market won't solve the problem. The classic capacity market right now is PJM. That's Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, that area out there. And they just had rolling blackouts this September, just a couple of months ago. So there's no evidence that a capacity market actually provides more capacity. But the one thing it does provide is a lot more cost to consumers. The estimates run, in the neighborhood of $3.5 to $4.5 billion a year, billions of dollars a year that consumers will have to pay on top of the electricity they already have to buy. So there's no big problem. This doesn't provide a solution, and it's very expensive.
So, Smitty, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so Smitty from Public Citizen, it's not every day that I find you and the Texas Public Policy Foundation going on the same side of an issue. Tell me about why the Public Citizen is against this capacity market.
Well, we agree with Bill that a capacity market won't solve the problems we're having in Texas. Capacity markets don't solve freezing weathers or hot summers that end up causing there to be outages, typically not due to shortage of electricity plants, but due to weather. And that's what's been causing our outages in Texas for as long as we've had electricity. What everybody's excited about in Texas is that the projections are we're going to run out of electricity. And when that kind of projection gets signaled to the electricity markets, it then enables them to frequently finance new plants and come in and solve that market problem. And that's what's happened time after time for the last roughly 40 years since we've been regulating electricity markets in Texas. But what also is happening here is that we have a bunch of generators who are looking around at their colleagues in the rest of the country and saying the market's working entirely too well here in Texas, and costs are lower than they are in other parts of the country, and we think we could make more money if we switch to a capacity market, which pays us if to be ready to generate, but not necessarily for doing any work. And so we on the liberal side and the Texas Public Policy Foundation and the manufacturers and the environmentalists are all on the same page saying, this is a really bad idea. It's going to cost too much, does too little, won't solve the problem, and will end up in years and years of litigation. And it's just not the right solution to the problem we're having.
But Bill Peacock over at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, people who are reading the tea leaves are saying that this is happening, that we are switching to this capacity market system. We will be looking at higher energy costs. The question is, how are we going to get there?
Well, you know, they're looking at the tea leaves, but I've got a crystal ball over here, and I'm not so sure we're actually heading in that direction. We had a really good hearing in the Texas Senate Natural Resources Committee this past Monday, and Senator Troy Frazier and other members of the committee, both Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals, you know, spoke up and were quite concerned at what the PUC was doing. A lot of concern about whether or not they had the authority to do what they were doing or saying they're planning on doing, and whether or not, of course, they should. And I think the message was pretty clear that at least the members of that committee don't think the PUC should be moving forward, that it should be a legislative issue. So I think there's still a good possibility that this gets delayed and deferred long enough that the Texas legislature will come back in 2015 and take a much closer look and see if this is something we should do.
Right. I know that they were talking about agency creep and talking about how an agency like the Public Utility Commission, they have control over our utilities, and but they don't have all of the authority that they think they might have. And that is really, if we switch to a capacity market, they're saying that should be up to the legislature. But Rick Perry is the person that put people on the Public Utility Commission, knowing full well where they were on this position. Isn't that right, Smitty?
Well, absolutely. But where we are right now is we've had a preliminary vote, or not even a vote, but a discussion of the commission. And we've had a debate going on for over 2 years, so about whether to go to a capacity market or energy-only market. And a new person that has been appointed, Brandy Marty, who is to come in and try and decide which way she's going to swing, has said, we ought to look at having a mandatory reserve margin. And basically, that what that means has not yet been fleshed out. And so while she's indicating she thinks we ought to do something, what it is she thinks we ought to do is yet up to debate. And that's why it's important, we think, for your listeners and others who don't think they want to pay more for electricity than they have to, ought to jump into the fray right now and call their legislators and say, we don't think this capacity market's a good idea. And what that does is it starts to get the legislature riled up. And just as we saw on Monday, a few calls to a few legislators has resulted in a massive hearing where you had more senators showing up than there were spaces at the table. And suddenly it's become a big deal. And with having been a political organizer for over 30 years on consumer issues, I see time and time again when citizens get riled up and their legislators get a lot of calls about an issue, bad ideas frequently get stopped in their tracks.
All right.
And
so
we're at the point.
Smitty, I'm going to take a quick break. Callers, call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question about capacity market and why this could make your energy bill go up, why that is happening, who should you believe, what questions you should ask, you call in right now. Let us know. Or you can go online to the source at tpr.org and put your questions there, and we'll ask them for you. We're going to be right back after this break. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. When you buy electricity today in Texas, it's like buying milk or tomatoes or gasoline. You're buying for what you're using. You're not buying for what you might use in the future. You're not paying for the potential for. You want to have extra milk in the system, so because maybe tomorrow you need more milk than you normally would use. That's kind of what a capacity market for electricity would be in the state. And if that were to be put into place, then us consumers of electric power, we would pay power generators to be on standby, because just in case we might need a lot of electricity, they would be there in the ready, because when you need electricity, you don't expect them to start building generators at that very moment. So is that kind of an adequate description of what we're talking about, Bill Peacock from the Texas Public Policy Foundation?
Yeah, it is in a lot of ways. I think the difference is in that what we're looking at here is the energy-only market, if you will, already provides for capacity. Right? I mean, and that's why we have a reserve margin today. Today, there's no mandatory reserve margin. Nobody mandates anything, but yet we have, depending on who you talk to, about a 14% reserve margin. That's essentially extra capacity in the market in the marketplace today, and we've got it because consumers are willing to pay for it. They know that while they want cheap electricity, they also want reliable electricity, and they're willing to pay for it. They bid up the prices, and that's what we have. What this capacity market would do would we'd take those decisions out of the hands of consumers and make the decisions at the PUC where they would mandate how much they think consumers should have extra and how much those consumers should pay for it. It's backwards. We just shouldn't do it this way. These things, consumers should make these decisions.
Well, Tom Smith of the Public Citizen Texas, we're hearing the argument that because natural gas prices are so low, that means the profit margins are low if you're generating electric power. There aren't the market forces aren't there for people to be building new electric power plants in Texas. So we're seeing load growth in Texas. It's been reported about 2%, but now that's being debated. And so the prediction is that in within 10 years that we're going to be maybe down to 5% of a target reserve margin. And so that would be bad for the state. So how do you respond to that?
I think that what's really happening is that the electricity market is changing dramatically. And instead of a projected load growth of 2-2.5%, we're really seeing somewhere around 1% over the last several years, even though we are experiencing tremendous population growth. And part of what's happening is that a lot of the investments that we as a state and the nation and you in San Antonio have made in terms of reducing energy are beginning to pay off, whether that be more efficient appliances or smarter appliances or the so-called smart meters that can be deployed to reduce peak electric demand on the hottest summer days or the coldest summer mornings. All that's working. And it's not that we're not seeing new power plants being built. We're still continuing to see enormous amounts of wind power plants being built around the country and in Texas as well. But we're not seeing the conventional power plants powered by natural gas, coal, or nuclear being built because those are old, outmoded technologies that the market is no longer supporting. And there's been a really interesting analogy that I think makes this all make some sense. What we're needing to do is to build certain kinds of new, highly responsive power plants that can balance the need for electricity on the hottest summer days or the coldest mornings, and sort of fill in little valleys that we have in our system. But what the capacity market would do is pay everybody for just being there, whether or not they met that need or not. The analogy is it's kind of like wanting to water one kind of plant in your garden and turning on the sprinkler system for the whole yard as opposed to walking out and with a watering can and watering just the plant you need. And that's what a capacity market would do. It would overkill, overwater, and cost way too much to take care of whatever perceived problems we seem to be having.
So Bill Peacock at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, I know you mentioned this before, but again, give it to me. What do you think the cost, how much more electricity would cost if capacity markets would be put into place?
Well, it depends on the exact estimate of what they're looking at, the design of the particular market that they design to put into place. But again, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 to $5 billion, and that kind of gets us to the point where you've heard that some people are for a mandatory reserve margin. Well, all that means is they're going to mandate capacity, and once you've mandated capacity, you have a capacity market. So if the PUC moves to mandate this reserve margin, they're saying we're going to have a capacity market. It just what kind, whether it's a New Jersey East Coast kind or a California West Coast kind. They work differently, but they cost money. And you know, and I'll throw a bit of controversy into the discussion now. You know, Tom and his group and others, we all agree on the problem with the capacity market, but we kind of disagree on where to go from here, because we would push for less regulations. We think that the intervention of the government is the problem today, and we need to get those out of there. We need to get rid of PUC regulatory authority on a lot of issues, market power abuse, disgorgement of revenue, fines, those kind of things, reduce those. We need to get rid of renewable energy subsidies and all those types of things that are really having a detrimental impact on the market, and they're causing some of the problems that we're seeing, so that the PUC is reacting to them.
Well, the system that we have now, where we pay for the electricity that's used, and then when we hit near peak load, that's when we get a scarcity pricing that goes up. And so we'll see people paying almost twice as much for the same watt that they would have used if there wasn't so much scarcity. So is that an effective way to regulate the market, Bill?
Well, yeah, it is, because, you know, the great thing about it is, you know, if we get rid of the price caps on the wholesale side and allow those prices just to go sky high, the great thing is that consumers never see those kind of things. Very few consumers are on a bill where they pay on the variations of the prices of electricity in day-to-day. Most of them get, you know, six-month contracts or a year contract or sometimes even two-year contracts, and those prices all level out. And it's the companies that bear that risk, because consumers don't really want to deal with that kind of stuff. It's the same thing with your cell phone. You don't really want to keep track of your minutes. You just want one of these all-in plans where you just call as much as you want and you get your bill once a month. And so high prices on the wholesale end don't necessarily translate into high prices on the retail. Matter of fact, a lot of times they'll translate into lower prices, because those high wholesale prices will attract more investment here in Texas and actually lower electricity prices.
So, Smitty, over at the Public Citizen Texas, there are some people who say that this reserve that we have now, the reserve margin at 14%, that is not really 14%, because when we have peak load, we see a drop-off in wind power in the non-coastal wind farms, that the wind doesn't blow when it's that hot.
Well, there's some truth to that. But there is, as you mentioned, a wide the original plan for developing wind in Texas, and what we're seeing emerging now, is that not all renewables produce at the same time, and that what saved our bacon on the hottest days of the summer in 2011 was the fact that the coastal winds came up and outproduced anyone's expectation and kept the lights on. What has caused the blackouts isn't wind dropping off, but with large coal plants that went down because of freezing weather. And the reserve margin in Texas has been largely set to meet the oh no moment when the largest nuclear plants in the system have tripped offline, and 2,500 megawatts is dropped off just suddenly because of flaws in the nuclear power operation, whether it be an electrical short or an overpressure situation. And so every type of generation has its flaws, and what we're now knowing is that renewable energies are as predictable, and in many cases more predictable and more regular than other types of generation, which typically fail in very large quantities because of a seemingly simple mechanical problem. But go back to one other thing. I think none of us have really put a point to how much money the capacity market would cost. Our analysis is around $140 per year per family.
Bill, so let me get to me, $140 per family if capacity markets went into a year. That's a lot of money.
Right. And then Commissioner Anderson on Monday came out with a number that said it would be 596, I'm sorry, $396 for every family per year. And he's the PUC commission and has far greater analytical powers than we do.
Right.
At his disposal. And so he's saying this could be as much as $400 per year per family.
Right, so it sounds like we're got to wrap this up. It sounds like we're talking about some very esoteric inside baseball political thing about energy in Austin. But this really is a kitchen table kind of an issue, and that we, and people kind of need to learn a little bit more about the capacity markets and the way our deregulated market works, and to, so that we can have you know, be able to talk about it intelligently with our lawmakers. Right, Bill?
You're right.
Okay. I want to thank you so much, Bill Peacock from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, Tom Smitty-Smith, Public Citizen Texas. Thanks for joining us on The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.